Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the Gospel for this weekend, we have two stories wedged together. And so it's important for us to be able to distinguish the two in order for us to truly understand the message for this weekend. Notice how it begins. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Well, this is the very end of the story of the road to Emmaus. Now realize, we're reading from Luke's Gospel. Over the past 2 weeks, we've been reading from John. Now we've switched into Luke. And at the very beginning of this Gospel passage, we come into the very end of the story of the road to Emmaus. The disciples have encountered the risen Lord. They've seen him in the breaking of the bread. Now they have run back to the apostles in Jerusalem, and they're telling the apostles about this occurrence. It continues, "While they were still speaking about this, Jesus stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' But they were startled and terrified, and they thought they were seeing a ghost." Well, herein lies the primacy of God's grace. The apostles have not seen Jesus yet, although they have heard stories from others that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, especially these two disciples who have encountered the risen Christ on the road to Emmaus. Now, what's important to understand here is that despite the fact that the apostles have heard all these stories about the risen Christ, they're not going out into the city or in the streets to look for him. They're not scouring the countryside to see if Jesus Christ truly is risen from the dead. Instead, they're hiding in the upper room. But Jesus is looking for them. See, therein lies the primacy of God's grace. Jesus Christ, throughout his entire ministry, was constantly going out and gathering people, the sinners, you know, the hungry, those that were diseased or had illnesses, curing them. Notice how Jesus begins his ministry by gathering the apostles, by calling them. There's that classic story of Peter. Peter is in his boat, and he's minding his own business. He's tending to his nets and his equipment. Jesus climbs into the boat and sits down. See, therein lies the primacy of God's grace, that God comes after us. God doesn't wait or is in some distant figure waiting for us to come to him. No, instead, he comes to us. And see, that's what God's grace is all about. Salvation, yes, it happens, but it happens according to God's will, not our will. Yes, we are saved because God comes to us. Despite the many obstacles we put up, especially the obstacle of our own sin. It continues, "But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost." That's their first reaction, fear. This is something totally unexpected. The apostles now see the risen Christ standing in their own midst. Remember, the last time the apostles saw Jesus, they saw him dead, hanging on a cross. More to it, they think he's a ghost. The apostles have been close companions of Jesus. And yet, when the time came in which they came to get him, to arrest him and crucify him, the apostles fled. They even denied him and abandoned Christ. Yes, the apostles are in fear, but I think they're more in fear of Christ, in Christ's retribution, and how Christ will judge them, or pronounce justice upon them. Notice what Jesus does next. It says he shows them his wounds. We learned last week, Jesus did that to his apostles in John's Gospel, and he did so to show, to teach the apostles the effects of sin. Well, upon seeing the wounds, immediately the apostles recall their own sin, their denial and abandoning Jesus. Now, here's the first spiritual lesson for us all. What's the worst thing that we could possibly do? Forget our sinfulness. The worst thing that we could possibly do is deny our own sin. If we do, then we're in no need of a Savior. Think about that. Primary characteristic of saints is that saints had a keen awareness of their own sinfulness. As I always say, the difference between a saint and a sinner, the saint knows they are a sinner. If we take on that attitude of, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, then we're easily deceiving ourselves. In fact, if we fall into that temptation of making that statement, we better look hard at the crucified Christ. We better look hard at the wounds of Jesus Christ, just like the apostles are doing right now. The apostles see the wounds of Jesus Christ, and they are reminded now of their own sin and how they, like us, need a Savior. Next, Jesus says, peace be with you. Now stop for a moment and imagine this picture in your head. Jesus Christ, in this room, surrounded by all of his apostles, and now he says, peace be with you. That's a beautiful portrait of our church. And see, herein lies the purpose of why Christ came into this world. Jesus Christ came into this world, yes, to gather the tribes of Israel, but to gather all of us to him. Jesus right now is in the midst of his apostles. They have circled him, and he says, peace be with you. Herein lies another spiritual lesson. If we truly want peace of Jesus Christ, if we truly want joy, spiritual joy, then our lives have to be gathered around Christ. What's the potential problem? We look for the peace of Jesus Christ in all the wrong places. We look for it in fame, fortune, notoriety, power, honor, and yet all those things are passing. Those things are not eternal at all. Instead, the true peace of Jesus Christ is found when we are gathered around Christ, just like the apostles. In fact, we can see the peace of Christ at our liturgy. Every time we gather for Mass, how do we begin? After the sign of the cross, the priest says, the grace and peace of Jesus Christ be with you all, and our response, and with your spirit. Right before we are about to receive communion, we offer one another a sign of Christ's peace. Peace of Christ is important for us to receive. Why was it for the apostles? Because they were sinners, and they recognized that. They recognized their own sin. But Christ doesn't respond by vengeance. No, he responds with compassion, peace, and love. See, that's something altogether different from what our world tells us to do. From ancient history all the way up to today's day and age, if you look at myths and stories and movies and television shows, you see that common theme. Violence upsets order. Order can only be restored by an even greater violence. See, go back to ancient mythology. Who are the heroes of ancient mythology? Well, the ones that restore order by violence. Look at our movies. Go to a movie theater or turn on the TV. You see shows or movies. It's the same thing. Evil upsets order. What's required? Retribution, revenge. Greater the violence, the more order is restored. And yet Jesus now shows us another way. Was the order of the world upset when Jesus Christ was killed? Absolutely. The killing of Jesus Christ is the worst crime in the entire history of our world. Nothing even will come close to it. That's why Peter says in the first reading from Acts of the Apostles, the author of life, the Son of God, you killed. When Jesus Christ was crucified, it caused a total disruption of God's order in this world. How did God respond? With violence or retribution? No, with compassion, with peace. He restores now the order that was once lost. The risen Christ, Jesus, he gives us a way out of that cycle of violence. And the way out comes from his own compassion and peace. When the apostles hear Jesus say to them, peace be with you, now they know that they have been forgiven. They are now forgiven sinners. That's right, Jesus then commissions them at the very end. He commissions them to go out into the world and be emissaries, be ambassadors of that peace to others. Well, what must we do? We must come to the essential truths of our life. We, too, are sinners. But we are forgiven sinners. Again, go back to the Mass. You know, at the very beginning of Mass, we gather together, don't we? And we gather around Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ that is present at our Mass, and we are gathered around Him, just like the apostles are in the Gospel. More to it, at the very beginning of Mass, we recite the penitential rite, the Confiteor. We say, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned. We immediately recognize our identity, that we are sinners, and yet we are forgiven sinners. We are loved sinners, just like the apostles. Then, like the apostles, we too must go out and continue their work in the world. Continue to be emissaries, ambassadors of God's peace and compassion and forgiveness in this world. And why not? We have received Jesus' peace and forgiveness. Now we must go out and we must be able to display that same compassion and forgiveness with others. If we truly are to call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ, and we can do it. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.